Hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I got all kinds of articles for you guys this morning. Went up early, rocking and rolling. Got a bunch of health stuff we're going to be covering. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the berberine, and also the ones that you can vote for on here. The joint rebuilding formula is looks like it's going to win probably Wednesday, but that can all change suddenly. I've seen a lot of stuff do that last minute. That's a popular product, but be sure to check out the berberine formula, which we talked about last week. I may give you another article on today. We've got a lot of health articles. You can go in here and research those and read about it on the berberine ultimate and what it does for blood sugar, what it does for actually liver health, also what it does for brain health. It has a lot of really, really significant benefits. And this is the berberine ultimate. Remember, this is dihydroberberine. So it's five times more bioavailable than regular berberine, which is the normal stuff a lot of times you see at the health food store.
You know, Amazon. I've been taking that now, and I'm down 7-8 pounds.
Are you really?
Huh? Seven pounds. I'm down 7 pounds. I'd gotten about 205. I'm back down to 198. I tell you what, Austin, it's not very hard to do it with that stuff.
It's not. Especially if you combine it with a clean diet. If you're eating clean, mm-hmm. you're keeping your insulin low with low glycemic carbs and good meals, and you throw in the berberine, I mean, it hits you immediately. And then if you really want to do cinnamon extract.
Well, no. I had a friend of mine start on that about 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was about 2-3 weeks ago, and she's already down 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she basically said, I've tried and tried, I couldn't lose weight. And I told her, I said, well, there's certain things you got to cut out of your diet. You got to get rid of the high glycemic foods, and you got to be on the cinnamon. The problem that happens, give me this camera, Rich. The problem that happens is once your body gets to a point where you're always pushing a lot of high glycemic carbohydrates in it, you start to elevate the blood sugar. And when you elevate that blood sugar, what ends up happening is you start having increased levels of insulin, but the body becomes insulin resistant.
Yep.
That's called syndrome X. Then when that happens, all that extra sugar that you're eating, all those extra carbs you're eating, all the bananas that you're eating, all of the fruit juice that you're drinking, all of the high fructose corn syrup drinks that you're drinking, and all the rest of that junk you shouldn't be putting in your body, what it does, it gets converted into fat because of the insulin. So you're sitting there going, well, I don't know what to do. My blood sugar's high and my insulin levels are high. And you start just swelling up. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're like, I'm gaining 1-2 pounds a month. Well, it's because it's syndrome X. That's why everybody starts going on those injectable drugs, that Ozempic stuff.
Ozempic.
Because it helps to get rid of the insulin resistance. The problem with it is if you get rid of the high glycemic carbohydrates, just get rid of the junk, the juice, and all the... If I drink a glass of orange juice right now...
Oh, gosh. Okay? We talk about this, yeah.
Okay, if I did, I will be dropping my head on this table within a 30 minutes.
Taking a nap.
What I'm going to do, I would get up in 15, 20 minutes, and I would leave the set and go lay down. I'm going to pass out up here, which you guys would probably like to see that, but I don't really want to do that.
We don't need to do that on Monday.
It's terrible for a health guy. I would literally fall asleep up here. And then all that extra sugar would be converted and stored as fat.
Yep.
You go, well, that's awful. Well, same thing happens to you with alcohol. We've talked about it so many times. Alcohol stops the production of an enzyme called lipase. And one glass of wine, I've seen it happen so many times. On Monday, it takes 4 days to get your lipase levels back. One glass of wine on Monday, one glass of wine on Thursday. Done. Your body doesn't want to burn body fat.
If you just are absolutely bent, I'll tell you this, if you get bent on trying to just gain body fat, like you are just in a mood to get unbelievably obese, start drinking mimosas, that champagne with orange juice.
Unbelievable.
It will get you. I've watched so many people and friends that I've known over the years start doing this. They go to these brunches. And I went one time, years back, five, six, 7 years ago, and they said, we're getting bottomless mimosas. And I said, what is that? It's like champagne with orange juice. And I was like, I'll try one. And sure enough, it tasted good. I didn't get my eggs in time, dude. By halfway through breakfast, I was like, guys, I'm leaving. I don't feel good. I felt absolutely horrible. So not only are you not having the ability to break down any of the carbohydrates and burn as fuel, because all you're trying to do is break down the alcohol, you spike your insulin to the roof with orange juice.
Now, let me explain to you what, because that's exactly right.
That's horrible.
What happens is your liver gets hit with alcohol.
Yeah.
It goes, ugh, what is this? This is poison.
I got to process it immediately.
I got to get this out. You know, I'm talking about ethyl alcohol. It's poisonous.
Yeah.
You can't, your body's got to get rid of it. It dehydrates you. It does all kinds of stuff to you. So your body goes, I can't process anything else. I've got to get
only
the
alcohol.
Out. The alcohol's got to go away. That's why it stops the production of the enzyme lipase. The body's got to boot it back up again. And when it happens is this, when you wait 4 days to start producing more lipase, then you do it again, Your lip paste never goes
but
back
see,
up.
With the mimosas.
That's why you get a beer gut.
You're hitting your body with the alcohol processing, and then you're dumping in a copious amount of orange juice sugar on top of it.
Now, one more thing, too. Now, this is really, really important. The other day, I spoke to this young lady, this woman, and she basically gained a bunch of weight. And I was talking to her, and she said, well, I want to order a diet soda.
And that's the thing that a lot of people expect out of that.
No, let me explain to you. Diet sodas contain methanol.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That's paint thinner.
That's aspartame. Aspartame's the ingredient, most okay? of them.
And here's the problem. It does the same thing the alcohol does because it's an alcohol.
Yeah.
The body's got to process the methanol. It's that poisonous. You're drinking paint thinner. You're like a doggone wino laying on the side of the street with a bottle. You go, there's more, right? You get a bottle of paint thinner. And so you're sitting here. Now you're addicted to this stinking alcohol, this methanol, and your liver goes, this is poisonous. And all of a sudden, it starts to process the alcohol, and you start gaining weight because you can't produce lipase. Diet sodas do the exact same thing that alcohol does in your body if you drink enough of it, because the body has to get rid of the methanol. Now, think about it, though. You're not just drinking ethanol. You're drinking methanol.
Yeah.
You're drinking a compound that cannot be made non-poisonous. All right, I want another diet soda. I like my diet sodas.
Well, they're addictive.
No.
They're very addictive. Most people that drink them,
that's because alcohol's addictive, Austin.
Yeah.
And what happens? You start getting addicted to the doggone methanol. Are you listening to me, friends? So now you're like a drunk on the side of the road with a can of Sterno. You're going, oh, it's great. You know?
That's a picture.
Well, no, I want to make a picture for you guys. Read the article that I wrote on our website, Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. Read it and say, oh, but you think about it. See, you're walking down the road with a guy with a bottle of methanol. You go, oh, it's great, man. You go, well, it'll make you go blind. Oh, by the way, it makes you go blind. High concentrations of aspartame make you. That's why it does it. It causes optic nerve degradation.
So if you want to get back in shape, cut that out of your diet and throw the berberine in. This is a 2022 study.
If you want to get blind and fat, drink your diet sodas.
2022 study identified berberine as a top performer in blood sugar test. The best part, it's effective without causing unwanted side effects or sudden sugar crashes. The 12 studies showed that people that use berberine dropped an average of 4.5 pounds and nudged their body mass index down by almost one entire point, even managed to cinch in their waist by a little more than an inch. And these were studies that people only ran berberine for 4 to 6 weeks with no change in diet.
That's right.
No change in diet. So they still ate crap, probably ate fast food, whatever the money. They told them, do not change your diet. We're just adding in berberine. It's the only thing we're adding into your diet and your supplement. And that's what they did. So when you stack it with, you know, chicken, rice, and vegetables, or, you know, beef and vegetables, and you start taking berberine, and you start exercising. Yesterday, and I am sore, man. I have not done it in a while with Hunter. We did full combat workout yesterday. So plate carriers, mags, full load out, lunges, 100-pound, 80-pound, 150-pound farmer walks, sprints, rifle sprints, push-ups with them. I haven't done it. I took some old workout I used to do. We're out there about 45 minutes. And I'll give that boy credit. He put a whooping on me on the running. By about the fourth set, because we were at your house.
You're running with plates.
I was running. Yeah, he didn't have any plates on. But we were just sprinting your house down, bounds in front of the house and back, rifle runs.
Were you carrying your guns?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, the neighbors love it when we do
this. Well, they're fully unloaded and safe. All the weapons are safe.
No.
As well.
I'm going to say it again. We have some neighbors here. They've moved now. Several of them have died. But they would if they would see us do stuff like that, I'll never forget that one time. I'm as hell. I'm tell you, I had this neighbor. I mean, he was like the neighbor from H.E. Double Sticks. I mean, he was awful. And lived next door to us. And I'll never forget, you know, he hated guns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And one time I was down at the lake, and I had my Benelli with me. And all of a sudden, he calls the law on me.
Oh, yeah.
And the cops come over there. They're more interested looking at the gun. It's a pretty cool gun. They said, this is it. Yeah, thanks.
Benelli was
the but I wasn't, you know, shooting any wildlife. And what happened, it was so funny. So then I knew that he just absolutely loathed guns. He's a real liberal. So one day, Austin and I are sitting out by the garage. We're loading up the car. And I think we're loading up groceries.
It was. I think we were like in the public.
But listen. We're loading up groceries, and I wanted to mess with the neighbor a little bit. And I told him, I said, Austin, get the grenade launchers.
Oh, yeah. I was like, hey, bud, I grabbed a case of frag grenades. You want me to put them in the back or put them in the front?
I know, because there's a fence between us. There's a PVC fence. You can't see.
You can hear over it.
Yeah,
though,
it's like an 8-foot PVC fence.
Funny.
But you can hear over it. And so we're just going off. Get this, Gary. You know, we didn't have the stuff we were talking about. We have any of it. But we're talking about it. And oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
It got brought up later, though, or something, didn't he? He made something.
Oh, yeah,
man.
It's called
all these heavy weapons over there. What you guys are doing yourself.
We
had a 12-gauge over there.
That's so funny.
Now, and this is interesting. Going to looking at what we're seeing now with the younger kids and a lot of the mental issues now, this is a brand new study that just came out, and it said the number of 6 to 12-year-olds using common medicine for suicide and self-harm surges 311%. Now, this study's rough. But yeah, I'm bringing this up.
Make sure this gets posted on our
website. No, this needs to get brushed while I'm bringing it up. It says some of the substances include pain relief medication, antihistamines, cough and cold preparations. And it goes into detail here. It says suicide is the second leading cause of death among children aged 10 to 14 now, according to data from National Institute of Mental Health. And it goes into detail how a lot of these drugs.
10 to 14.
10 to 14, man. And a lot of this is on the, and we're talking the rise on it. Is up hundreds of percent. They said the highest increase was shown among 11-year-olds, 400% increase in suicides from 2000 to 2023, in a 23-year period, 400% increase. And you got yourself the question, what's changed in the last 20 years? One of those things is the massive inclusion of basically social media has been injected into everybody's lives, including young children that have no limit on it in most cases. And also, too, the ability that a lot of these drugs are at home, and now they're having these topics. We were different types of chat GDP. Listen to me, guys. Different types of videos on TikTok. Lots of information is coming out now. Oh, I can't live with myself anymore. Well, you could take this, you could take this, you could take this. Remember that chat GPT that talked that kid into killing himself not too long ago?
We have a beautiful suicide, he said.
What is going on with this stuff, and why is this even acceptable?
It's Lucifer, bud.
Exactly. It's what it's all about. And so we're seeing all these things start to happen, and more people getting crazier. And this is an article that I was really glad to see, because I think all of us on the conservative side, because here's the thing. Most of us conservatives, we try to filter what we do through a Christian filter, right? We try. I mean, I can be really mean. I used to be really mean when I was younger. I try to be really nice now, best I can. Try to be a Christian. And what we're dealing with a completely satanic, occultist push on individuals who don't function anything. They don't filter anything through a Christian lens. It's through a satanic filter, which makes it even worse. It turns into an amplifier. And so when you saw a lot of these videos where people were even at work and they were jumping up and down and high-fiving and shooting party poppers off after Charlie Kirk got killed, there has now been a massive wave of terminations now. All the way from airline pilots, educators, and retail workers have been fired or suspended for a flagging post on social media, basically bragging and saying how amazing it is that he was executed and assassinated on national television.
Remember, these airline pilots, most of them are pretty conservative, but you put the DEI incentives in for airline pilots, and suddenly you get these liberals in.
That's exactly where it goes. And the whole thing is people were arguing back and forth. They're saying, well, do these businesses have a right to terminate someone for that type of behavior? 100% absolutely. This rules for me and not for thee. Oh, yeah.
U.S. Secret Service will not tolerate behavior that violates our code of ethics conduct.
One of the Secret Service agents got terminated. He had a big thing on it, talking about how funny it was that he got assassinated, how funny it was everybody watching his throat shot.
I wasn't going to talk about Charlie, but since you brought up, I got a question. They're saying now it's a 30-06.
Yeah, I just saw with the Mauser 98 rifle.
Okay, well, it's funny how they keep changing the narrative.
Well, it's funny to me how the video of him jumping off the roof, he allegedly broke the rifle down, which a Mauser, you can break it down. It's not that easy. In his backpack, in his leg, jumped off and then reassembled it in the woods and dumped it. It wasn't an LMR.
By the way, it's all a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
And the guy they have arrested for is a total patsy.
Now they're saying he's not cooperating. He's not admitting to it.
Well, because he's probably drugged out of his mind. He probably knows what's being done to him. But here's the thing that bothers me more than anything else with all of this stuff. It's, again, now they're saying that the guy who supposedly is the shooter had a transgender boyfriend.
Yeah.
And all this other weird stuff. It's all
falls into
it's
the perfect
all,
narrative
no,
to cause
it's
more
all
conflict.
Lies, and more lies. And the sad part about it is, I was watching this morning on Drudge, and all their lead stories are about this. It's again, completely taking conservatives and turning them against liberals, because out of chaos will come their new world order. That's their goal. That's their mantra that they use. And so you understand that when you start looking at the narrative and what's happening with Operation, you know, Paperclip and Operation Gladio and all these different operations, Northwoods and all these different things they do behind the scenes. And then they've got to spin them all. And they've got to say, oh, well, that's not what happened. This isn't what happened. This is what happened. And it's like there's a propaganda mouthpiece that's already been in place for all of this stuff.
For years.
Let me say something to you. Now, this is going to be a weird one for you. Okay, I've fired a lot of high-powered rifles, Austin. I've fired 50-caliber rifles at one-inch plate steel from 700 yards in body silhouette. I've done all that. And they're, by the way, 700 yards with a 50 is nothing. It's easy to hit anything with that. But here's the thing about that is this. A 30-06... It kicks like a stinking mule. It's a lot bigger round than a .308, isn't it, Austin?
It's got a little bit more kick to it, but it was one shot. The biggest issue.
No. Here's the issue I have.
Yeah.
It was a neck shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Why haven't they found the round?
Yeah. No, there's no question about that.
No, that's a big
round.
Where's
no ballistics on it?
And here's the other thing I've got. Here's the other question I've got. You shoot a watermelon from 200 yards with a .308 or .30-06, that watermelon's exploding.
It all depends. Well, the biggest problem is that it depends what kind of ammunition he was running.
If you run a Full Metal Jacket.
Well, he hit his spine. Well, here's the thing.
Why didn't it blow his head off, Austin? That's what I don't understand.
30-06 can go in and out. The problem is there's no, and I don't want to get too graphic on the show.
No, I want to talk about it. This is all over social media.
You got soft tissue. You don't have as much of a blast on it. And I asked Jeff about this the other day because he was a Ranger sniper. He did like 6 or 7 tours. He was in the Ranger battalion. He got out after he found out a lot of different stuff. And I asked him about this shot because I said, you know, a 30-06 has almost no drop at 200 meters. There's no drop on that round 200 meters. That's a flash shooting round. And he goes, well, Austin, he goes, off the record on a lot of stuff we learned, especially like MARSOC Marine snipers, Army Rangers, even the Middle East with IDF. He goes, in most cases, he goes, this isn't really taught. This is off the record. He said throat shots are more effective at getting more personnel rushed into a casualty than a headshot is. If somebody gets shot in the face with a .308 or a .556 or a .30-06, they're pretty much deemed DOA immediately by a medic team. You're done. You just got shot in the head. When you get shot in the throat, you pull in the medic and you pull in another fireman that's coming in and getting you out of the way. They're trying to stop the bleeding. You get everybody focused on it because they're trying to basically get you out and get you patched up and get you to stop bleeding. It pulls more people in it. He goes, it's not really the best way to do that. It's not the best way as far as from a morality standpoint, but it's the best way to keep everybody wrapped up if you're trying to get multiple people that you're shooting at involved in the casualty and the triage, because now the guy's not dead. Now you got 2 to 3 minutes in bleeding out and trying to stop the bleeding.
And you got more time for the guy to leave the scene.
Exactly. And you got more time for everybody to sit there. And then they had the hour and a half, right, to put on national television. He's in critical condition. He's this. And again, I don't want to be graphic with this, but he was dead the second he got shot. That round hit his spine. That's why his hands froze up. That's why he didn't move anymore and he fell right over. He was dead. There was no way he was coming out of that shot. There's too much soft tissue there. You can't come out of a round. Well, you can't come out of a rifle shot from the throat. If you get shot in the head, depending on the angle, depending if you turn your head, you can have a ricochet. You can have it crack your skull and click off of it if the round's not center mass. Throat shot's almost impossible to survive with a rifle shot like
okay,
that.
Okay, so you're saying that if
the throat
I'm
shot
right,
was intentional.
Throat shot was intentional.
That's what he said.
That good of a sniper.
Yeah.
And so now we've got some 22-year-old guy that probably hadn't fired a rifle but a few times in his life from 200 to 300 yards doing a throat shot.
But 200 meters with a 30-06 is not a hard shot. The only thing that gets me, and this is what he brought up, and this is a valid point. He goes, Austin, I can tell you, this guy's got, I mean, he's heavy combat. He said there's a big difference between sitting at a range under a booth, plinging steel or plinging paper 200 meters, and between having that and your crosshairs on a living being who's talking, looking, moving, breathing, and squeezing that trigger
off.
Yeah,
but not if you've already killed a bunch of kids from your,
that's exactly
from your
right.
wall in Gaza.
But if you're just some 22-year-old tranny kid that's pissed off at the world, he goes, there's a reason why a lot of people, even hunters sometimes, pull rounds whenever they're shooting even animals. He goes, it's a whole different story plinking at paper and plinking on a human being. It was a big story. In the sun, sweating your eyes, getting your scope dialed in, sitting there, waiting for the shot, waiting for that individual to give you that perfect shot and squeezing the round off perfect, no hesitation, no pull on your trigger, right into a throat. Because that was an incredibly clean shot.
I remember one time, we had the opportunity to shoot a SCAR Heavy.
That's great.
Remember that gun? And we got to have an opportunity.
Austin, 308.
Austin, 308. And I remember we were shooting into the range, and Austin had it dialed in. It was perfectly sighted in for a 100-yard shot. And I remember he handed it to me. You want to shoot it, Dad? I said, sure, I'll shoot it. First round, bullseye. I mean, center bullseye, right in the middle. And I just handed the gun back to him.
Goes, that was at a cool, calm, collected range.
No, that's right.
You're going upstairs. No, you got thousands of people in front of you. You're shooting over their heads. You got somebody that you're about to kill them.
But remember, if you fired off 25, 40, 50, 100,000 rounds, it's the same thing.
Well,
to
he
you.
Said in the range sniper school, they have hundreds of thousands of rounds. They do all day long in sniper school. That's all you do.
Remember,
you can't miss
that one movie that Tom Cruise started with, you know, what was the name? Jack Reacher, the very first one. I mean, that came out about the same time we had a shooting here when Obama was in office. So the movie kind of crashed because of that. But the reality, he was saying you shoot hundreds of thousands of rounds all day long, and you're waiting for a shot.
Yeah.
And now you're leaving, and you're never going to get the shot.
Yep.
But these guys have these shots. They get these shots, especially when they go into these combat zones, you know, as mercenaries.
Well, no, and even that. I mean, in Ranger Battalion, I mean, when you're providing overwatch for the team, you can't miss. You don't have the luxury of missing. You've got a Ranger team that's kicking in a front door. If you got somebody that basically pops out of a window, you have to take them down
immediately. Can you imagine the training that the person who pulled that trigger did? I mean, he has to slide off the roof, has to get into a car, he's got to get to the airport, and all that has to be done seamlessly.
Seamlessly, and then get up there, get in position.
But you're right, though. Charlie Kirk, if he had taken a headshot and blown his head off on national TV, all of a sudden be like, okay, he's dead, look for the shooter.
Immediately.
Okay, now he's hurt, let's look, get him triaged. It changes the narrative.
It does, and that's what he said.
When
you have a fire team, if somebody gets shot in the throat, you got somebody else that's pulling them out of wherever they're at. Then you got the medic that they're pulling over. You got everybody trying to triage him. Well, you're pulling guys out of a gunfight that are already engaged. You're pulling them out now to triage this guy shot in the throat. Get shot in the face, dude, he's
gone.
He's done. He's DOA. He's done.
But so now I've been hearing all kinds of different things. Like people were doing handguns. They were using ice crystal rounds and all that. I don't believe any of that.
I asked him about that. He says it's all crap.
Because the truth to be told us that that's not as effective as it needs to be. This is a one shot.
No, this was guaranteed. A one shot. This is
professional.
He said that this was one shot. They had one chance to make this happen. Because if they missed, if he clipped him in the trap or clipped him in the shoulder, the level of security Charlie Kirk would have had around him and just in perpetuity forever, nobody would be able to get around him. He would have Secret Service style security around him at that point if they missed. He said it couldn't happen. They had to pull him out because all he has been doing for the last 4 to 5 weeks is talking about what Israel's been involved in with Gaza, what they've been doing with Qatar, what they've been doing with the mainstream.
Candace Owens. Well, what happened is Charlie Kirk, and I've read a bunch of stuff on my posted a bunch on the website now. Charlie Kirk was pro Israel. Nobody's starving in Gaza. Pro. All of a sudden he goes, oh, I'm wrong. Look at what's going on over here. And suddenly it's like he's got this giant platform now that the Sabbatean.
Huge.
Listen to me. The Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, which runs all media in the United States, gave Charlie Kirk a giant platform because he was pro Israel. And whatever he said, it was pro Israel. Always. Then suddenly Candace Owen and him start talking. And Charlie was smarter. And this is exactly, if you listen to the show we did on Friday, when you start digging deep enough into this trench of just filth, okay, of who these people are and what they do, it always ends up at the same place. The Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalah Synagogue of Satan. It always ends up there. And so it doesn't matter how you try to dig at it. If you come sideways, right, left, down, straight, and it doesn't make it. It always ends up there. Every time you dig under the rock, it's them. And when you understand that, you start seeing it. And you say, well, wait a minute, I was hoodwinked. They lied to me. Well, yeah, guess what? They lie to you about everything.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And Candace Owens better watch as far as what's going on with her.
Well, Pierce Morgan's doing it now, too.
Yeah, well, that's because she basically was kind of the same with Charlie Kirk was a lot. Now she's been changing. There's a short video.
I used to be a Zionist. Yeah. I was in the Assemblies of God Church, which I would not recommend to anybody. Don't pick on me if I say that, because they're so hardcore Zionist.
Well, no, I want to play this video with Candace Owens now, because this is a couple weeks ago. This is after a lot of stuff been going on with Iran. This is before Charlie Kirk got killed. Her and Charlie Kirk were very close, and now she's come out and saying flat out that she thinks Israel's involved as far as with this with him.
Well, of course they are. I said that on Wednesday last week.
Now, listen, I'm gonna play this real quick here.
Isn't that America wants a regime change in Iran is because Bibi Netanyahu is demanding it, and we also are completely done with the idea that these decades-long idea that we're doing it to spread democracy because we believe in international liberalism. There was no imminent threat to the United States when Trump made this decision to do what Bibi wanted. And I want to be clear here. This was not Trump's decision. It was Bibi Netanyahu's decision. And that is the reason that he did it. And we're very aware that Israel is dictating our foreign policy, and we would now like that to stop.
Okay. But you wouldn't disagree, presumably, that Iran has been the main sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East through the Houthis, through Hezbollah, through Hamas. I mean, that's widely accepted and recognized. They've done
widely accepted. Now, that's just kind of...
Really? You don't
Israel has been a terrorist state. Okay, Israel right now is imparting a genocide and a Holocaust on the Gazan people. So I'm really over this idea like somehow Israel has the moral high ground and we have to get behind them.
I didn't say that.
We've got to go after the bad guys. It's rich
okay,
to me that people are concerned
okay,
about Iran having nukes. But I'm concerned about Israel, who won't even admit that they have nukes, okay. having nukes, while at the same time they are executing a genocide and a Holocaust in Gaza that the world is watching. So... who's the bigger terrorist is the question.
But when the leader of Iran says death to America, why doesn't that concern you?
Why are they chanting death to America? Maybe it has something to do with just like killing a million Iraqi civilians, okay? Because Bibi Netanyahu on a congressional stage and said there are weapons of mass destruction, and we took that to the bank, and there actually were no weapons of mass destruction, so we just killed a million. It could have something. I could be crazy. It could have something to do with our actions in the Middle East. That we know that Bibi Netanyahu funded the Al-Qaeda adjacent front because he wanted to overthrow Syria. Bibi Netanyahu funded Hamas. There is footage of Bibi Netanyahu saying this stuff on camera. So it's just so ridiculous to me to pretend that they're in some predicament, that they may be eradicated soon, which is why they have to keep funding all of these terrorist groups and then pretending that they're victims of terror, of terror, when in fact they are people that are imparting it worldwide. You know, okay? And again, these never-ending wars in the Middle East at the behest of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu is the one that called for Americans to invade Iraq, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, and now Iran, and we've done it. And we're done with the BS of, okay, well, they weren't really involved, Israel, in Afghanistan, because even when we fight those never-ending wars, Israel wins. Everybody knows that our boys were out there in Afghanistan guarding poppy fields, okay? And do you know what happened after we allegedly, quote-unquote, lost in Afghanistan?
Sounds like us.
What happened to all those poppy fields, those poppy flowers that our military was guarding? Well, the opioid crisis hit America via the Sackler family, who quite literally built the School of Medicine.
Exactly what we say.
University. So we're just done, okay? And there's no way that we're going to go backwards. We're not going to allow you guys to emotionally condition us to go, oh, well, we got to protect Israel because of the Holocaust. It is over. They're imparting a Holocaust. America would like off this crazy train.
That's why I played that video, because she is not playing any games anymore. She'd beat around the bush for a while, and I think she got a lot of support from a lot of Israeli stuff with Charlie Kirk before.
Well, the problem that you run into is what I just said. You dig under the ditch.
Yeah.
You dig into the hole.
She's called out again with the Poppy, with the Sackler family, with the Tel Aviv University that was the ones who actually started shooting.
She's listening to the Ted and Austin Brower show.
Yeah. But when you start seeing everybody that's really educated and really well versed on topics, and they all start saying the exact same thing, you got to say, is it really a conspiracy theory?
Well, here's the thing. This is why so many people hate Jews.
Yeah.
I just said it. They hate Jews. They absolutely hate Jews. Now, here's the problem for the Jews. The vast majority of them aren't involved in any of this crap.
No, okay? They're not.
And that's what Charlie Kirk started saying. He says the liberal Jews that are funding this stuff, and the other Jews are stuck as basically victims.
A lot of people don't realize, before the Hamas attacks, there were hundreds of thousands of Jewish protesters in Israel protesting Netanyahu to throw him out.
They want him out.
Because he was actually changing their constitution and putting in these judges.
Well, here's the problem that they have in Israel right now, because they've already got, they know the persecution. They know that the United States accepted the Jews after World War II, but they came over by the hundreds of thousands, if not by the millions in aggregate. And they liked the fact that they were accepted into the United States, and they were able to start business and stuff. They were banned in over 100 countries over the millennium.
Because of money manipulation.
And so they built this really bad reputation for the bad ones, the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan ones. And they built this really bad reputation for themselves, but they've been accepted into the United States. I've got friends of mine that are Jewish. They're friends. They're great. And they're all conservative. They want nothing to do with any of this stuff. And they said, hey, look, we're Jew by birth, but not by religion. You know, we don't get involved in this stuff. We hate what they're doing over there to Gaza. See, and this is the problem that you have whenever you get any ethnic group. When I was a little kid, I remember this because, I was born, right after 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it was, after World War II. And what happened is I got to hear that crap all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, how bad
you are. Oh, you're German. Oh, oh. You know, I'm like, I was born, you know, in Winter Haven, you know,
Florida.
I may speak German, but I wasn't born there. I wasn't part of that. And then I remember I watched that stuff with Walter Cronkite. He had all the stuff on the TV back then. They were still playing all the war narratives all the time back in the 60s. And I remember thinking, you know, this is awful. These are my relatives. This is terrible. And, you know, but then I started to realize as I got older that the victor writes the history books.
Exactly.
And then when I read The Bad War by King, which you can get for free, by the way, in a PDF, but you can't get it off of Google because they won't let you find it.
Yep.
You get it on DuckDuckGoGo for free and read it. That's exactly the narrative that my parents had told me that happened in Germany during the war and how the war proceeded. And so I started looking at it differently. I started thinking, well, if they'll lie to us about this, why? Because the German people stood in aggregate against the central banks in the 30s and got rid of the Rothschild banking cartel in Germany and started printing debt-free currency. And guess what? They had to shut it down.
You can actually go in now. This is one thing about AI. You can actually go in now and have Hitler's speech, a lot of his early speech, especially in the late 30s, interpreted as far as in his voice and everything in English.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff you hear him talk about when he's bringing it up, you go, well, that doesn't really sound that crazy at all.
Well, he in that Nuremberg rally, I remember I watched it one time, and it was pretty accurate on because I speak German. And also, they had the subtitles. And basically said, if the Jewish international bankers insist on doing this and destroying Germany, we're going to get them all out of Germany.
Correct.
We've had enough of it. They're not going to do this to us. And he goes, we can't put up with this. So he knew what was going on. You know, he wanted to get them out of the country. And then he sent a whole shipload of them. You guys do the research on this. There are 1,500, 2,000 of them. He put them on a boat. Says, you guys want them? We're sending them to America.
Yep.
They refused them port of entry in New York. Read it. They had to go back to Germany. They said, no, we don't want that. So the Jews have been for millennium. I mean, just. But what happened when they were involved in the death of Jesus? He said, whoa, you're going there. Yeah, I'm going to go there for just a second. They really put a stigma on themselves, and they said, let it be upon us and upon our generations to come about this death.
The blood of Christ.
Yeah, and so then they spoke it over themselves. And what happened is they really took the persecution on themselves. And that's what they were known for, you know, 1,000 years. They were like, oh, they were the killers of Christ. They were the killers of Christ. And so they didn't have – nobody gave them a lot of slack. And they understand that for thousands of years now, they've been persecuted.
Well, it took a step further.
And that's why the ones who don't believe all of this stuff don't want to be involved in all this stuff.
The problem is when you start reading it, if you read parts of the Talmud, and it talks about how Jesus basically is in hell in a vat of sewage.
Yeah.
And it talks about they could – it's not like they did what they did to Christ and it took a step back and said, this is a mistake. They did it, and then they doubled down on it, and then they started interpreting what they wanted and having the Babylonian Talmud and pushing it further and further and further in their narrative. So it wasn't like they were like, you know what? That was a mistake. That we need some repentance for that.
They doubled down on it.
They said, no, he is a sorcerer. He is not the son of God Almighty. We will not follow him.
Virgin Mary is a whore.
Yeah.
It says all that.
That's the problem I have. When you read their literature and what they follow and what they actually believe, it's unbelievably blasphemous. But yet, they're our greatest allies. You got to ask yourself a question.
Candace Owens was dead on.
Oh, she's spot on. You got to ask yourself, somebody's an ally, that means you're mutually beneficial, correct? What does Israel do for the United States population at all? They don't pay our bills.
When do they send foreign aid for hurricanes?
They don't cut my grass. They don't benefit anything here. They don't manufacture anything positive here. The only thing they started to do now is they started to work with a manufacturing company to build fake lab meat in North Carolina. They backfunded through Bill Gates. Look it up. Okay, that's not what we wanted. They don't do anything for the United States, yet they call us our ally and say we need to benefit. They hate the United States and they hate Christians. They openly brag about it. Netanyahu's the worst. He talks about how basically 80% of Americans support Israel no matter what they do because we've been brainwashed, essentially, and we've been told we have to do it.
It was a 200-year process. It started back with Darby, then it ended with Schofield, and ended with Samuel Untermyer, and we've covered in detail on the show.
So I don't want to keep going off on it because I want to play that article with Candace Owens, though, just for the fact that a lot of people...
So let me say it again in case anybody missed it last week. Mossad killed Kirk.
Yeah.
Period. Done. Because he started talking rhetoric against
Israel. If it wasn't a IDF soldier that actually did it, they were directly involved in the back planning of it. And basically the exfil of it and everything in between.
That's true. They could have hired another merc to come
in and
do it.
Remember, they're very shady.
But it's a Mossad.
They operate through covert means. They're always covert.
Well, they're the best there is.
Right. So they're going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 steps between everything. And a lot of times they like the fun stuff. There's even an article that came out the other day now, and the neighbors, they interviewed one of the neighbors of the alleged shooter, and they said that basically this kid's house that he's been staying at, they had multiple vehicles there over the last couple of weeks with government plates on it. Now, whether or not that's accurate or not, I don't know. That's what they said. The thing about it is, all the mainstream media news, remember this, understand this for a second, guys. The mainstream media news, you don't pay for it for a reason. It's on TV for free. It's always free. Everything they do is free. They don't ask for anything. They put it out there because it's the propaganda machine of the deep state, of the communist Marxist agenda, through a lot of it back to the CIA and through Mossad. They don't charge you for it because they want to force it upon you. They want to continually push in. They don't need your support with it. They don't take any money for it. They put it out there all the time for free because they want you to watch it. It's how they control the narratives, how they control the population. It's how they continue to brainwash every single person that actually listens to them by making everyone think, we're doing this for your safety. We're doing this for your health. We're doing this for your protection. It's always a lie. Just look at COVID in the mainstream media and what they did to everybody, how much they lied to everybody all the time. There's an article here that just came out now, and I was going to cover it. Researchers found unvaccinated children are significantly healthier than vaccinated, yet they will not publish the findings from Henry Ford Health System researchers. Won't post it. They basically told them to stand down. You're not allowed to post this. They did full research on it. They went into detail of between 18,468 children born between 2000 and 2016 who were enrolled in a health system insurance plan, drawing data from all medical, clinical, payer records, and supplemented with information from the immunization registry. After 10 years, 57% of the vaccinated children had chronic health conditions such as asthma or more, compared to just 17% of the unvaccinated children. After 10 years, almost quadruple. Oh, you didn't hear that on CNN, did you? You hear that on Fox, did you?
You know what makes me angry with all this stuff? And it does. And it reminds me of what Jesus said. If you mess with these little ones, better a millstone be tied around your neck. I mean, Jesus got, you know, he didn't talk much like that. The only times he really, really got aggressive like that I can remember in the New Testament was basically about kids. And about the money changer when he fashioned a whip and beat them out of the doggone temple and slipped over their tables.
Study found that exposure to vaccination was independently associated with almost a threefold increase in the likelihood of developing chronic health conditions when compared to children unexposed to vaccination, primarily driven with asthma, atopic diseases, eczema, autoimmune disorders, and neurodevelopment disorders. This suggests that children exposed to vaccine may likely increase the likelihood of developing a chronic health condition.
You know, years.
When did you see this get posted on Fox, NBC, CNN, anyone? I haven't even heard RFK and Jude talking about this.
No, it's been about 20 years ago when Obama was in office. You graduated college. I was so proud of you at the age of 19.
Yes, early enrollment. That was a big experiment that went well.
It did.
It was.
Well, it gets you focused on stuff other than just playing a stupid
double
game.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. It's great because you double dip.
Yeah.
You do. You're getting high school credits and you're getting college credits at the same time at basically state payment. So you get a little bit of that tax money back that you pay in so significantly amount for years.
But
and years
I remember
years.
You were going to go in the OCS program.
And
for the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And they be an officer.
And I said, I don't want to get injected. And they said, you can get a medical waiver, you can get a religious waiver, you can do all that, but you'll never get deployed. You basically work as a recruiter. And I was like, I don't want to work as a recruiter. Like, I'm combat ready. I've been training for years. They said, you were not going to get deployed without vaccines. You be an officer. You get your butter bars. You can do all that. Once you get to finish OCS program, but you're done. You're not going anywhere. And I'm like, okay. So I just kind of just stepped out of that and started training with a lot of guys that I knew as far as in the private sector and learning more and training more. But I was like, I'm not going to get injected because you told me to get injected.
I remember I told you when you went in, I said, look, I said, this is your call.
Yeah.
I said, I have protected you for 19 years. Now, listen to me, friends. This is important. If you got kids, I'm going to say it again. I have protected you as my son. I wrote a book on vaccines. I know what they do. They're bad. They're really bad. I made sure you weren't exposed to this. I took care of you. I protected you. And now you're 19 years old. You're not a kid anymore. You can make your own decisions because you're 18. I'm telling you right now, if you do this, I'm out of the loop. I absolve myself from any and all responsibilities of any kind of health issues that you have from this. But I'm letting you know that in advance that I suggest that you don't do this. But it's your call if you want to go into the Marine Corps and get deployed.
Well, and the issue that came about, too, because, I mean, I was well qualified for everything. My ASVAB was to the roof. I wanted to go in. I was infantry. I wanted to do infantry. It's one of my always goals to do. And I asked my recruiter, Master Sergeant, And I said, you know, if I want to deploy and all these shots I get, he goes, well, the problem is, Austin, he goes, you have no vaccine shot record. He goes, they're going to give you all of the back shots.
That was Cook. That was Master Sergeant Cook.
And I was like, what do you mean back? He's like, you're getting all the back shots and the current required shots. He goes, you are going to get lit up. He was really honest with me. He was in MARSOC, retired MARSOC. And he goes, you're getting everything. You're getting back shots. You're getting everything if you want to deploy. And he goes, I don't know what that's going to do to you. He goes, I've never had this happen before. I've never had anybody come in with zero vaccines. And he goes, you're going to have a required list that you've already had. They're going to have another required list for you to deploy, and. And I was like, I looked at it. I said, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if my body can handle that. My immune system getting, you know, 20, 30, 40 vaccines over a few week period. So he told me that's what they're going to do. Because I knew a lot of guys, including an officer in the Air Force that we knew up in Montana.
His name was Eric.
And he refused to get the anthrax shot. Mm-hmm. He was a pilot, active duty pilot,
helicopter pilot.
Refused to get the anthrax shot.
He was an officer. And guess what they did? They didn't have a brig for officers.
No.
They had to set up a separate brig. They arrested him.
Oh, yeah. He was getting court-martialed.
Yeah.
He refused to get it. He said, I'm not getting the anthrax shot. He goes, everybody's getting sick and almost doggone dying after they get the anthrax shot. That was during the
Gulf War.
Yeah. And so the problem is when you start realizing, when you go into that government mode and they start telling you what you have to do and you can and can't do, or they're getting rid of you, they just do it. They did this with the COVID shot.
The only thing you can do, if you're big enough, high enough, strong enough, long enough, know enough people, you get an advocate.
Yeah.
Who has a high ranking, and they can walk you through it, say, no, we're going to exempt him from this, this, or this, because we want him in this program.
But, man, it's
hard to get there. Yeah. Because and that's the thing that you always learn. You always try to find out, can I find an advocate that can help me with pretty much anything? And once you learn about advocates and who they are and what they can do for you, they can make life a whole lot easier for you. They really can.
And the issue we're running into now is so many people, you see this as a good problem to have, so many people are starting to wake up to what's really going on. And, Charlie Kirk, he's turned into a martyr. And the problem what they did, they played their hand too hard with it, whether it was IDF or CIA, whoever was involved in this. They didn't kill his name. His name was already so recognizable when everybody followed him, and now they martyred him in front of everybody.
They should have had him.
They couldn't do it. They couldn't compromise him. He was too much of a Christ follower. They couldn't compromise him.
No.
They couldn't do it.
But the thing about it is they should have just had him get an automobile accident and been done with it.
I went to church yesterday over in Lakeland, North Lakeland, and I've never seen the church so packed in the second service. First service was packed out as well. Ask the pastor. I mean, I'm talking no seating. People standing in the back, overflow parking. I've never seen it that busy before. I asked him, I said, what's going on? He goes, what do you think, man? He goes,
Lutheran church is packed too.
People are fired up. Because people are mad. People are nervous. People are fired up. People are wanting to figure out what to do. And I said, the issue with this is exactly what he said. They martyred him now on national television. And now nobody's okay with this leftist platform. And that's why when I saw that a lot of these people are getting terminated from these businesses for their unbelievably sick, sick behavior, jumping and laughing and glee because this guy got assassinated in front of his wife and his children and they're getting terminated, kudos off to the companies. I mean, I had a friend of mine years ago who worked with Capital One. This is what makes me real mad about it. He worked for Capital One and there's flamer he had to work with. I mean, just blatant homosexual. And here's the thing. If you're gay, you want to be gay, be gay. Be gay all you want. I don't care. Be gay, 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 gay. Have fun being gay. But don't make it my problem. And I won't make you my problem either. He came in. He turned my friend into HR because they were joking around about doing something. My friend was like, oh, yeah, that's like really gay. He goes, what'd you say? You said that? He got all mad, turned into HR. They had a dog on HR meeting. They put him on probation about it. They said, if you make any other comments that basically is hate speech towards him, we're terminating you for cause.
You know, I remember years ago, we were at the mall in Houston. You were with me.
Yeah.
Your mom was with us. And I remember we went into, it was a Versace store, I guess. And the clothes are way overpriced. And yeah. But she wanted to go in there because she'd never been in a Versace store. You remember this. And I know you remember what I'm fixing to say.
Oh, yeah.
And so we walk into the store. And, you know, and Sharon tried on a pair of jeans that were overpriced. And I'm walking in, there's a big gay poster on the wall with a guy.
I still remember to this day.
Two guys on the gay poster. And I looked at her and I said, give them the
They're
pants.
Making out.
Well, they weren't well, kissing, they, but they were about to make out.
It was a giant poster.
And so I looked at the sales rep who worked on commission and I said, not here, not buying nothing for you because of that poster. Now, we're talking, this is like 20, over 20 years ago, okay?
This is about the 90s.
It's about 30
90s,
years
yeah.
ago. You're almost 40 years old.
Yeah, no, thank you for that.
You're welcome. and what happened is I remember, I told the sales girl lady, I said, you know, I'm not buying anything here. Now, I said, I've got a child here with me, and I got to try to explain this crap to my kid. I've never told you this story on the air before. And she goes, will you please do me a favor? She goes, I get so many complaints about this poster and people walking out. Will you please tell the manager?
Gladly.
I said, of course I will. So he comes sashaying out. He's as queer as a $3 bill. He's a flamer. I mean, he's got the lisp going on. He's got all of it going on, right? And I looked at him and I said, and he says, well, you have a complaint about my poster? And I'm like, dude, I don't care about your poster. What I care about is that you should have it posted on the door when you come in that you have homosexual pornographic crap on the wall. Oh, it's not that. I said, yeah, it's two guys about to kiss. I said, give me a break. I got an 8-year-old. Now, by this time, I told Sharon and Austin to go out into the foyer out there so they would have to hear me talk to this weirdo.
The common area.
Yeah, because they were outside. They left the store. But he starts on me. He starts yelling and screaming and carrying on. And I looked at him. I said, dude. And he goes, oh, you meet me in the parking garage and I'll talk to you.
Yeah,
remember all that crap? And I'm like, oh,
oh yeah. Okay.
And I said, dude, I don't even want to talk to you. I said, your sales rep asked me to talk to you. I said, you go meet yourself in the parking garage. Have fun. I don't want to deal with it. I said, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're a flamer. I don't care what you are, but don't expose my 8-year-old to this. And you're looking at me now. You're going, did you really do that, Ted?
Oh, it really happened.
It really happened.
I didn't know what to think about. I was like, when I'm talking like they were going at it, I remember hearing out in the foyer, them yelling out in the common area. And I'm like, yeah. God, dude, I'm like, dad's about to get a doggone fist fight in the store. And then you went downstairs. You talked to basically the mall.
I went to the head mall, and the next time we came back to the mall, that poster was gone.
You went to check it out.
And what was interesting about this, now let me stop for 1 second, because now I'm starting to sound like some stinking redneck. Okay, listen to me for a second. God,
I went to the mall when the Versace store got a fist fight.
Okay. I'm a Christian. I try to be. Sometimes I fail miserably, okay? I got no halo, guys. And, you know, yesterday, you know, Pastor did a great sermon, you know, how we're all sinners. And we continue to be sinners. And how Paul, the great apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, is saying, you know, he didn't mention this in Corinthians, but he talks about some other verses. Oh, the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, those are the things that I do. And this guy wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
What a wretched man am I.
Oh, yeah, right? So when we understand that grace is there for us, and that when Jesus died for us, we have to confess our sins unto God, and God accepts us, and he forgives for what we do. So, anyhow.
Well, let me put a spin on this first. I want to just clarify this. If you or your friends or your family, you know, somebody has a problem as far as in that community, in the homosexual community, the gay community, if that's their personal lifestyle, pray for them. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to go along with it. You sure as heck don't have to support it. But it's something that everybody has to fight and everybody has to deal with. As far as I understand, everybody's got to fight their own demons. Everybody's got to deal with their own problems. The difference is when you start projecting and forcing everybody else in the community and family and areas to accept and embrace and take up for what you stand for, and it's completely diametrically opposed to the Word of God, that's the difference.
Well, you got to remember, Charles, I'm a little bit older than you when all this happened. And the craziest thing, I was still kind of hot-headed like you are sometimes.
I try not to be nice.
No, but listen to me. I wasn't going to. Here's the problem. Listen to me. Let me give you some background. If the flamer had taken a swing at me. Okay, let's talk about it for a second. No, in the mall. Okay, I would have knocked his blankety blank out. No, I mean, I still had 18 and a half inch arms. You remember that? I got pictures of you and me showing you when I looked at it. I still had close to a 50 inch chest. I was huge before I had to tear a rotator cuff. And I was still unbelievably strong. And I'd have just cold cocked him. I'd have just knocked him out and been done with him. But the problem is, he goes, let's meet in the parking garage. Here's what happens in the parking garage.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Reference that.
That's crime scene number two. What's going to happen is he's going to go get a weapon.
Or he's going to get law enforcement. You're going to go down there. He's going to say, he threatened me with a weapon.
Or he's going to get four of his buddies down there. And I'm telling you, you don't do stuff like that. Meet me down the road. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to do any of that. No. So if somebody assaults you, you know, I remember that happened in college. In high school. You know, I'll meet you out at the playground or whatever. And I'm like, no, you meet me right here.
You can do it right here in front of everybody. In front of the cameras. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. You know, and so, but now here's the thing. I remember I talked to Ray Northern. I love Ray. He was y'all sensei.
He's my sensei for years.
You know, and he taught you guys, how to really fight, you and your mom and me and everybody else. And I remember he said something. He said, it's always best to avoid it.
It is.
He said, it's best to walk away. You don't have to bow up and get all in a fight because you don't know what they're carrying. Now we're having open carry in the state of Florida. It's like we're going to have
constitutional carry. You don't have to have a concealed carry to open carry or concealed carry anymore. You don't have
starting in September, this month, the end of the month. And Grady Judd did a big press conference on it the other day. So that means you can walk into a place of business if they say it's okay. You could be running double 44 magnums like your doggone did in the old West with tie-down holsters.
He just gave me an idea. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I like to have the element of surprise. I learned that from fighting years
ago. Grady Judd said, you can't do it if you walk into a place of business that says you can't carry it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still can't do it to a government building, anything like that,
or schools. He's gave all the caveats on it. But the point is, I mean, you know, so you go strapped down, you know, in a doggone restaurant, you're sitting there with a 44 Magnum.
Yeah.
And you got a whole belt full of ammo.
Oh, gosh.
And then you got a backup Glock.
Wild West, baby.
Yeah. Now we're talking Florida. Now we're talking, you know, this is going to be party time. We're going to be Tombstone now with the old West. And so now we got people standing out in the street and having a gunslinging fight.
Check your pistols in before you come into the store.
Yesterday, I was over at Celebration.
Yeah.
I was on a date. And I remember we were walking around that lake, and there's a gator laying there.
Oh, yeah, there's always gators over there.
No, laying there, completely unafraid.
How big was he?
3 feet. Little thing. And I looked at him, I thought, and I had my Glock with me. God, I shouldn't tell you people this. This is terrible. And God, I thought, oh, God, I'm going to shoot that thing.
It is gator season.
But I don't have a permit for a 3-foot gator.
Okay. No, actually, yeah, you're not even supposed to shoot them under, I think, 4 or 5. You're not supposed to harvest them under that.
No, I wasn't going to harvest them. I was going to toss them in the water or something else.
No, you would never do that. You always follow
all laws.
Oh,
no, I would never.
Laws.
I would follow. No, I follow all laws and I would never do that. But I didn't do anything. I'm just thinking things, right?
Yeah.
And I had a date with me.
Yeah.
And she said, she's terrified of this gator.
Is she really?
Oh, she's scared. She's
we've all been desensitized to them, but a lot of people that have never been around them.
What, 3 foot?
3 foot
gator. They'll take your finger for you.
Yeah, they're usually not that aggressive. They're just so much bigger than them.
The biggest problem they have is how filthy their mouths are.
Oh, like full of bacteria.
Yeah, so if they bite you, you end up losing a finger or your antibiotics. So I walked over and had a stick, and I said, I'll just get rid of him. Of course, now we've got a crowd.
Oh, gosh. You poke at him, get him in the water.
Yeah. I walked up to him. If I had a pair of gloves on, I'd have grabbed him because he's small enough to grab. And she goes, oh, that's the most masculine the thing I've ever seen. I started laughing and I said, it's 3 feet long. Yeah. You can't do anything.
If you've been 11 or 12 footer.
We're going to poke 11 or 12 footer.
That's one. This is a knife. That's a gator. You get those 11, 12 foot ones on a treble hook, you'll find out what life is trying to grab those things.
But gators are just gators, man. But you got to be careful with all that kind of stuff. But I don't know why I got off into the gator.
Well, that's why we got tags and permits. The FWC requested people file for tags and harvest them every year because they were such a problem.
They're still here.
They've extended them. Now we do 24 hours. I told you that. Now there's it's not as far as it dark or morning and it stops till 10 a.m. It's 24 hours now.
But you know, the problem is when that kid got eaten a few years ago at Disney, one of the Disney resorts. That was horrible, man. That everybody thinks they're cute little animals.
They're not cute.
They're not
cold-blooded reptiles.
They're it's like trying to make
spawn of Satan.
Yeah, it's like trying to make friends with an anaconda. It just doesn't.
Well, work. No. It's like, I personally think those things fall back off the category of old dinosaurs or Nephilim. When they start getting 12, 14, 15 feet.
Something's happened. I told you would. Trump reverses on immigration, mounts over economic concerns. President Trump has walked back some significant immigration policies that collide with his economic agenda, angering his far right allies. President Trump entered the White House in January promising the largest deportation program in American history and golden age for American businesses. I've had too many purple sticks. But in recent weeks, the tension between those two promises has spilled out into the open, leading Mr. Trump to reverse or contradict some of his most significant immigration policies because they are threatening to disrupt the economy. Can't get any sheetrock boys.
The problem
can't
with
get any mummasons.
We talked about it.
Can't get any framers.
I've been in construction. The industry is so big in Florida and a lot of parts of the country, and they're ingrained in a lot of that.
Well, they're hiding in their homes now.
Well, yeah.
They don't want to go to Home Depot anymore. They're going, we can't get workers.
Now's the part of me. Well, yeah, how about this? How about they start training ICE agents or coupling ATF with them so they can go hit the MS-13 gang members or the Trend Boys? They want to go do all that. Jumping on people while they're running away from you in Home Depot parking lot while you're in full kit. There's not much glory in that. I mean, what are you really doing? Really? I mean,
it reminds me of that one TV show we watched that one time. This guy's hunting polar bears.
Yeah.
Remember that? And he's got...
And I'm all about hunting, but there was no sport in it.
The bear's sleeping.
He's like 1,200 meters out. He's running like a 300 wind mag.
Or a Lapua.
Or something. I was big. And he's out there adjusting his dope, getting it set. He's like, I'm sighted and we got the wind.
The bear's sleeping.
On the ice, sprawled out on the ice. And he nails the shot, gets him right through the lung. Pulver jumps up, just starts hemorrhaging bloods, wandering around. And I'm like,
what just happened?
I'm like, there wasn't much
sport
in that. There was no sport in that, dude. He shot a polar bear for 1,200 meters out. You were so far away, he didn't even smell you or hear you.
I remember years ago, a guy wanted me to go to Africa and hunt a lion.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
You're on the ground.
Oh, yeah. And he sent me a video. Yeah, and
classic video. Oh, that one takes that guy's head off.
Yeah, that lion hit that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Because he waited on the shot, and that lion came after him.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was a mess. And I told him, I said, you know what? Can I bring the trophy home?
Yeah.
No. Okay, I can't.
Well, you can in some case, but it is an insane amount of money.
Back then, Clinton or whoever, Obama or somebody had blocked a lot of it. And I said to him, I told him, I'm just not going to go over there and pay all this money to go hunt a lion. And basically, you say, well, now, mind you, these lions had been raised. They weren't wild lions. They had been raised in captivity. They were on a hunting preserve.
Were they?
Yes. I want to clarify that. They were being there for that purpose. They were being raised for that purpose.
I just say I keep my Florida butt out of Africa. I got no purpose being in Africa at all. There's too much in Africa that I don't need to be involved in. Wild animals and militia and civil war. It's just that country.
I remember one time Sharon and I were there on safari with a camera, right? And they had it set up so we could do a hot air balloon ride over the Masuma Rai, which is a park over there, the Serengeti. And they picked up, they lit the balloon up like at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark. And we got to float over about 50 feet above the ground watching, and really got to watch this lions chasing zebra.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool over there.
And they had a chase vehicle behind us because they wanted to make sure if we landed that we weren't going to be stranded out there. And it was really fun. I enjoyed that.
Shame you hadn't had your pilot's license, so you could have known the parameters of the hot air balloon. I'd have landed very tough.
You know, when they tested me on that stuff, it was on one of the questions. I missed that question. I didn't care.
Sorry. I'm not specced for hot air balloons.
They told me what I had to learn, you know, what percentage I had to get. I did. I studied for like 5 days and got that. And I said, this whole thing with the hot air balloon rides, and they had the blimps in there too. And
the blimps?
Oh, yeah, of course, blimps. And I'm like, they had all these different questions, and I'm like, I'm not going to be a blimp pilot.
No.
And have no interest in that. So, no. But they pretty much have the hot air balloons. Pretty much have the right of way because they can't really maneuver out of your way.
that's what it's for planes. You can't sit there and try to cut the hot air balloon open and say, "Well, they were in my way."
Oh, good news here. This is important. Almost out of time. Nonstick cookware is on the chopping block in California.
Oh, good. Well, California does some good stuff as far as
this is Teflon. Okay, we've talked about it so many times.
Oh, yeah.
California lawmakers have advanced a bill to ban the sale of nonstick cookware and corded kitchen appliances that contains PFAS, despite strong opposition from an industry group that consists of products are safe. Lies, more lies, and damnable lies. Bill 682 would phase out a range of consumer products in the state, along with many commercial products that contain the amount of Teflon. Yeah. PFAS basically are man-made chemicals known as forever chemicals because they don't break down in the body. The bill would make it illegal for anyone to distribute, sell, or offer sale any cookware that contain the chemicals. So all you garage sale sellers better watch out. Okay, PFASs are leading to avoidable public health crisis. You know, said Ben Allen, Democrat, who introduced the bill. It's clear we need to take proper steps to minimize the use of these forever chemicals. He's absolutely right. Now, listen to me. If you're going to cook in the kitchen, which I know you do, don't eat out all the time, use stainless steel, use glass.
No aluminum either.
Use cast iron. No aluminum ever and no Teflon products, nonstick.
You know what I find about California so funny, though? They don't address DuPont. They address, if you can't sell it now, it's going to be a criminal offense to sell it at garage sales. Watch the movie Dark Waters.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not a popular film at all. It's an incredibly graphic film as far as what they produce in it, what they find out with cancer and all the birth defects with DuPont and what they did and how that product, the PFASs, should have never been approved on the market. DuPont hid enormous amount of studies on it. It was directly linking to cancer, all types of organ failure problems, and they covered it up. They're still in lawsuits to this day over that product. So if California wants to do something, I'm glad they're getting that off the market. They need to go after DuPont instead of say you're going to get arrested if you sell a Teflon pot, or, you know, a garage sale. That's typical California, though. They want to make sure they can change the narrative they want, but they don't actually address the actual problem. And so that's why we do the best we can to bring you guys articles here on the website.
Rather go after you on a garage sale.
Right. Again, that's typical. Like ICE, we're going to go after people at Home Depot instead of going to MS-13 full gangs that are in L.A. and the other parts in Colorado. I mean, why don't we start researching the two Mexican nationalists that got caught out of Colorado Springs with a U-Haul box van with 300,000 rounds of 30 cal ammunition.
AKMO3. You know, nobody's brought that up ever again.
We are the only ones ever talked about it.
It was on a local news article that brought up on it. Still, nobody's wanted to address. What do you need a quarter million, 300,000 rounds for in a box van with two Mexican nationals driving to Colorado? That's gunfighting amount of ammo. That's not just, oh, we're going to go hunting and target practice. I mean, it was in all the way from 308 to 76239, everything. So be sure to check the articles out here we have on the website, my friends. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Berberine Ultimate, one of the best products for blood sugar, burning body fat. We actually have a kit on here, I think, that we have. It's also on sale. I'll pull it up with the Berberine.
We're out of time, bud. It's time. We're out. We're gone. We're 10
Appreciate
seconds.
Appreciate you guys.
Got to pray for you in church yesterday.
Call us if you need us.
And listen to Pastor Wright's sermon yesterday. Grace Lutheran Church, Winter Haven, Florida. It's a really good sermon. And it's about how we all kind of do things we're not supposed to do. And I appreciate you guys. I got to pray for you. I love you guys. Thank you for your support.
Keep leaving reviews.
Yeah.
We need them. I love those.
Yeah, and thank you. If you weren't getting your supplements from us, we actually wouldn't be here. So thank you so much. And thank you for praying for us. That's really important for us. And thank you for praying for our protection. After we see what happened with Charlie Kirk, we realize how dangerous what we do is. I appreciate you so much. And we love you guys.
Have a great night.